what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they're about as much fun as funny fortune cookies. Ha! The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Regarding the media, they're about as much fun as a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. Wow. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I talk too much at home. And my wife, Noelle, says she needs a break. Makes sense to me. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. To the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. You know, now this is just to help you smile because we're going into the weekend, so don't get all overly spiritual on me. What is your favorite restaurant to eat at? Wait, of all time.
That's pretty hot steaks right there.
Yes, all time. Not just your friend. Oh, that was the greatest meal ever. Hello. If you think you know that answer, that's very much a blessing for you to know that. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question about that or anything else, maybe it's a praise report, maybe it's a prayer request, maybe you'll have an answer to trivia, I don't know. Whatever's going on in your life, if you want to share it, we'll be glad to pray with you, connect with you, strengthen you, and be a blessing to you the best we can. Here it is. If you want to reach out to us, all you got to do is you got to call 972-445-0770. So let me say that again because I know it's a foreign number to many, but let's get kind of connected to it. 972-445-0770. Because when you call, now you know what I'm going to do. 972-445-0770. You'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, talking to Dynamite D is like having confidence and absolute trust in a faithful man who promises to help you.
Oh, wow, Dave.
I want my $20.
I was thinking that's going to be extra interesting.
That's
got to be.
That's even more than $350. I mean, I need something more for that. That was a good one for you. Here it is. You can reach out to us by phone. You can also reach out to us by text. Now, some people are unfamiliar with that. You can text live during the show. I usually either answer, respond, or give something. But if it's trivia, you'll just know if you're right or wrong. It's pretty simple. All you got to do to text, you text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Also, you can send an email live during the show as well. David@hemustincrease.org. This tells you how to connect to the show, as we hope the show will connect to you. That's the A with a little circle thing around it. hemustincrease.org. When you send it there, it goes to my Chromebook. It takes about 30 or 40 seconds for my Chromebook to say, there's an email. Okay, so then once that happens, then I'll be able to read it and see what it is that you're trying to communicate. Additionally, we're going to send you up to the website. Lots of stuff on the website. Let's just focus on this for a second. There are videos, there are audios, there are articles, there are different things. There's about 4,500 hours. That's right. 4,500 hours, well over 10,000 sermons just in that little bit right there, that give you different materials on different items, different things that are going on. Hopefully some of that will be a blessing and encourage you. As well, there's an opportunity to give. We are a simple nonprofit, 100% tax deductible, little ministry.
Little ministry.
I like it. And here's what we're saying to people. Don't worry about giving if you can't give. Just the eagerness is something that Paul mentioned is blessed, and perhaps God will open up those doors for you to give in the future. If you can give, you should be giving to home base, because home base is where your church is at, it's where your fellowship is at. Take care of home, right? If the Lord puts it on your heart and you want to share with us, we want to be participants in that, and we want to advance the kingdom with that which you give us and be good stewards. Here's what we say. We always now give a scripture with the giving encouragement. Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the poor and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. Because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything in which you put your hand. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
You know, I've noticed that Jennifer does the sound effects like on Fridays. They're always like a Star Warsy thing.
Pretty much, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, I've just picked up on that. It's like she is a Starzy Warsy kind of. That's what's going on.
Could
there.
That be your brain heading into the weekend?
That is always. That's not heading the weekend. That's 24/7, baby. This is my brain going. I was telling D, I got like six different things I might be teaching today, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there juggling and running through the studio. That's how I am. So I do want to encourage everybody to pray for people in the audience. Listen, the Bible is very clear about taking care of one another, blessing one another, carrying one another's burdens. And so we want to do that. That's why we offer, if you need something to be prayed for, let's pray for it. If you got a praise report, share it. That's an awesome opportunity. We always make room for that because that's important to our hearts and minds to make sure we fulfill the law of Christ and carry one another's burdens. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, to that effect, I mean, right there. You can't beat this. We're going right into where we were. We're in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And yes, I know the joke. You know, how does Moses make his coffee? Hebrews. I know. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we're in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. And you probably won't be able to get out of this one because this is like as powerful as it gets right here. Here you go. Here it is. 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. What? Let brotherly love continue. That's a nice way of saying you don't do brotherly love in one shot. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to love them by doing something nice. Okay, I've done that. I don't have to do anything else. Okay. You see how that does not apply? It's the last chapter of Hebrews that we're in. It's truly a blessing, and the writer is making this significant point, urging us to let brotherly love continue. This phrase holds profound meaning, emphasizing that through the God-ordained grace and empowerment of Jesus Christ, bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit, we can persist in loving our brothers and sisters and the entire family of God. Failing to do so would only hinder us from reflecting Jesus accurately. You know who wrote that paragraph? I did. Just in case you're wondering. Bottom line is this. We are supposed to continue. We are supposed to persevere. And people say, we're supposed to persevere in love. Now listen, and I'm going to make it as simple as I can. Okay? Jesus gave a summation of the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That was the summation. No arguments. Nobody's having a problem with that. Matthew 22, we got it. In John 13, 34, and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. And he was talking to the disciples. And he said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. So Jesus kicks it up a notch. You don't just get to stand on the summation. Jesus takes it up a level and calls us to love the brethren. So the problem that sometimes the church has is we let, you know, doctrinal differences on ecclesiology or eschatology interfere with fellowship when we're really supposed to be focusing on soteriology. That's a really fancy way of saying salvation is at the core, and how your church does this or that compared to how the church down the street does it is not the central issue, or whether you're pre-mill or post-rapture, or whether you're all-mill, post-mill, or pre-mill is not the issue. It's not what's in concern. Soteriology, salvation, is the issue. How are we saved? And we are saved through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. That blood unites us as brothers and sisters. By the way, we have the same Heavenly Father, and we drink of one Holy Spirit. That's the commandment from Scripture. The unity is already there. In fact, the commandment is to keep the unity. That's what it says in Ephesians 4. Keep or maintain the unity. It's already existent in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we need to make sure that brotherly love continues. It's like, wow. That's four words. I'm not even in the rest of the verse. It's like, okay, that's four words. Good. All right, let me do a little bit more. Hang in there, okay? And then it says, don't neglect to show hospitality. Now, we're going to stop there on purpose. I know you guys are reading the rest of it, but when we do the next set, we'll get into that part of it. But listen to what it's saying. Don't neglect to show hospitality. It's very interesting because God delights in his people having a hospitable attitude towards one another, demonstrating, care and concern for their well-being. So you can see how this goes in sync with what we just talked about. This concept is vividly exemplified through the story, of Lot. What do you mean? Even though he was in a dreadful city, Lot showed consideration for others, and when the angels came in, he didn't even know they were angels. We'll get to that in a second.
Hold on, Dave.
Gotta wait for the next part of it. It's the whole point. But look at, he was nice to those guys. Hey, don't stay out here in the city square. This is dangerous. Come stay at my house. Yeah. That's hospitality. And that results in some bizarre things from time to time. But the scripture's telling us, hey, you got to be that kind of person. You got to be that kind of person who's caring and concerned for others. In fact, the entire premise on the parable of the Good Samaritan is how caring and taking care of the well-being of the person who was beat up that the Samaritan was. I mean, that was the principle, right? So I want you to think about that, but I want you just to take a breath. Wow, it's a lot, Dave. Take a breath. Because now we're going to slow down and we're going to do trivia. We're not even breaking. Just take a breath. Here's your trivia. Okay, ready? All right. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, they mentioned another great Bible prophet who taught his disciples to pray. Who was that? Who was that person that they referenced? Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They mentioned another great, powerful teacher, prophet, heralder, kind of proclaimer who had taught his disciples to pray. Who was that they were referring to?
Dave, nor in our audience, they're going to give a nickname.
Nah, it's already happening. And by the way, on this show, nicknames, that's fine. Okay, all right. And just real quickly, Dr. Dave, I'm just doing that so people know that, you know, we didn't just show up out of nowhere, okay?
He doesn't normally call himself that.
That's FYI. True. I mean, the reason I got a BA, a master's, and a doctorate is because God told me to. I didn't want to, but that doesn't matter. Sometimes you just do what the Lord wants. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That would be the number to call, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. You can text the answer in that way live right now during the show, whether you're in California or Texas. So California time is what? It's 11:46.
And
it's 1:46 right here in the studio. So you can text in, or you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. When the disciples asked Jesus To teach them to pray, they mentioned another great proclaimer, another great Bible herald, or another great Bible prophet, another great Bible teacher who taught his disciples to pray. Who was that? Who was that they were making reference to? If you think you know, give us a holler, 972-445-0770. That's the number to call, 214-210-8483. That's the text, david@hemustincrease.org. That is the email. Back to the text, because we don't wait around. Are you waiting around?
Nope.
Where's the break? I guess it's not happening. That's where it is. Here it is. Now, look at what we just talked about. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. We just went through a kind of an exhortation on that. Don't neglect the showing of hospitality. And so we're talking about, and what we mentioned was that Lot showed hospitality even though he didn't know those people were angels. Well, how does that work? Well, here's how it works. The rest of the verse says, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. And before you get into a deep dive on the theology of angelology or demonology, which both are standard basic Bible doctrines, you should understand that angelology, the reality of angels, is they are ministering spirits sent to serve the heirs of salvation. Got a question for you. Who are the heirs of salvation? You are. That's who you are. And so they're not called upon by the heirs of salvation. They're sent. What do you mean sent? God sends them. Okay? So you're not in charge of the angels. You don't have a money angel. That's absurd. You don't have a personal private angel that just takes care of you. That's just blasphemy. God sends angels into your life to do things from time to time. And what the Lord is telling you is, you know, you should be really kind to people. You don't even know if you're entertaining an angel or not. Just like who? Just like Lot, who was like, hey, guys, don't stay out here in the square. Come live in my, or stay in my house for the night so that you're safe and protected, not even having a clue who they were. Now, if that was true for Lot, and he was in a terrible type of neighborhood or city, let's just say that, and he was hardly the right place, you know, maybe spiritually, certainly not being very evangelical, having made sure that even his daughter's future husbands could care less about anything he had to say, he still was kind and angels were still involved. So what makes you think you're any different? Just like, and here the passage in Hebrews 13 is to you and me. It's not to anybody else, to us. Don't neglect the showing of hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. So then there's this group that says, oh, well, that's not angels. Okay, let me help you out. The reason that you know it's angels, like the angels, is because here's what it says. By entertaining others, we may unknowingly encounter angels. This refers to the actual supernatural beings, which is why the scripture says we might not be aware of it. That's exactly why the scripture says it. It's like, you don't even know. And what's amazing about that, I mean amazing, is that you have no doubt at some point, if you've been a Christian for more than an hour, you have at one point somewhere probably encountered somebody who was angelic or had an angelic ministry, you know, for your benefit, that you probably just like, I don't know. Just think about the simplicity of that. The scripture is so absolutely clear. We know that there are angels. We know there are demons. Hey, everybody talks about the demons. What about the angels? They're on the winning side, and so are you. It's like, that's kind of nice, isn't it? I think it's a nice thing. I look at that as nice.
Let me ask you this really quick, David. Okay. This is a little off script. Do angels like carry messages when you see them, Dave, or is it just could be anything?
It can be a message, as they are messengers. It can be for a task or a duty. It can be for a judgment. You look at the book of Revelation. A lot of judgment going on there. It can be, wait, this will blow people away. It can be for a conversation. What do you mean a conversation? Because it says specifically, John said the angel came over and talked with me. I mean, it's like, it's wow. Not just a message. Sometimes there's this engagement, this conversation. You have to remember something about angels, and the same thing that applies to people. We all serve God. Who's in charge? God. Who's the superstar in heaven? Jesus Christ. And what's it all for? His honor and glory. Everything we're all doing, angels included. And what they don't get is the element of salvation that we got, which is what the scripture means. It's the angels, they long to look into these things. Like, what is going on with this salvation stuff? This is unbelievable. Because they've already chosen to stand with God. That's why they're not demons. That's why they're angels. And look at, they're just fascinated by it. It's like, boy, I can't wait to meet some of these people. Some of these people are beings. When you meet them, they'll probably go, hey, well, remember when you were 9? No. Well, this happened. Like, what?
Wow.
Really? That's just fascinating. Then he goes on to say this, and I want to make sure we get this in because it's really kind of important. So he says that in the first 2 verses. And then he says, remember those in prison as though you were in prison with them and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. So there's then a reference to those who are hurt or those who are in prison. Now, from this passage has come several fantastic ministries, so don't get weird on me. But the context has to do with Christians who are being persecuted for their faith, as the entire epistle is about Christians being persecuted for their faith, the entire thing, from the chapter 1 to chapter 13. So, but that doesn't take away from the great effectiveness of prison ministries. And let's just say that prison can be a wonderful place of redemption. I know it's hard and bitter, but it can also be a phenomenal place of redemption. Plus, we already know God works within the prisons. How do you know that? Because of Joseph interpreting the dreams for the baker and for the winekeeper, and literally fulfilling the will of God in prison. So it's just like, stop. That's just the way God is. He's sovereign. So what I want you to remember, though, is that we're supposed to be standing in solidarity with our persecuted brothers and sisters worldwide. Everybody. Because the increase of Christian persecution, that demands our prayers and our awareness, as Satan is employing beastly governments and false prophets to falsely accuse and torment brothers and sisters. Hey, guess what? We better remember that. We better keep that in mind. That's what the scripture says in verse 3. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison. Like, you share with them. That's the brotherhood. You share. And that these people are mistreated. There's no indication in this passage right here, verse 3, that says these people did something wrong that's actually a breach of the law. It's because they're Christians and they're getting abused. And it's like, as though you were mistreated or you were suffering bodily. Like, whoa. Why? Because that's your family. And if it was your mother or your father or your child or your brother or your sister, your blood relative that was going through that, you would be pretty upset, especially if it's wrongful, right? Well, there's nothing wrong about the gospel, but there's something deeply wrong about people who are persecuted because of the gospel. Wow.
What a Friday day.
Yeah, that's the way to light it up right there. Right? I mean, I'll just tell you, I've had encounters with both angels and demons, and I'll tell you right now, the angelic ones are better.
I have too, David. I know this kind of can open up a box, but I'll never forget a time a guy came up to me, and he was coming. He was about 50 feet away coming out of a restaurant. Looked like he was, straggly. And I said, I know this guy better not come up to me. He made a beeline to me and quoted a scripture to me that had to deal with what I was going through. And I said, what? I looked around, and I didn't see him anymore.
You think people think, oh, that's just too bizarre. Not for God. He had a donkey rebuke a prophet. So pretty much God could do what he wants, right? So stop thinking, oh, that's way better. Yeah. I'm telling you, 1 minute in society, God pulls the veil back. Everybody sees demons and angels at the same time. People just start exploding all over the place.
I believe it. I believe it.
Because they just couldn't handle what they're... Like, you're crazy. Nah, I don't think so. I think that's probably a lot more normal than people maybe perhaps perceive. All right, let's go back to the triv question. On the trivia question, what was my trivia question? The trivia question was, quite frankly, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, they mentioned another great Bible teacher who had taught his disciples to pray. And so we simply asked you, who was that? And the answer is Johnny B. That's right. Johnny the Baptist. That's right. We call him Johnny B because that's funny. But we know it's John the Baptist. We mean no irreverence for him. Just irreverence to the people that have a hard time with that. Okay. How's that? Is that a nice way to say
that's
that?
That's a great way to
that's
say
that. That's a great way to say that. All right, so here's what we're going to do. So as we exit, I want to tell people in San Diego, if you want to keep listening to the show, a great way to do that is to go to hemustincrease.org. On the website, there's a thing that says Listen Live. You just click that. Otherwise, you can keep listening to the excellent shows that are on your station right now there at 1240. In the meantime, we'll take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
So we chatted about it on the phone, and it turned out that he had a pastor who used to be his pastor reach out to him and say, "The Lord put you on my heart. You know, I want to know what's going on with your life." He had another person say, "Hey, if you got this situation, let me know." He was talking to me. He was talking to somebody else. And it was like he had like four sources of support and didn't even realize that what he was seeing was the circumstance, which we all do. And when we pulled it back and looked at it, he's like, yeah, there's like four different places he was getting support from. And it's like, that's amazing. But see, that's not that amazing in the context of just what Peter and John said when they went into the temple. Children, you men of Israel, why does this miracle surprise you? Why does it even surprise us? God does so many things to reach to us and to speak to us. He is never, let me just say this, he is never absent from your tragedy. He is never disappeared from your circumstance. It's never happened. Long before you said yes, God said yes to you. Just think about the level of that, the commitment that would take. That means that God looked at my life and in spite of my insanities, said, "Yeah, we'll take him." Is that amazing? Think about how amazing that is. And so I was somebody had sent me a video about somebody who had an experience in heaven, and I was like, "Well, you know, I like some of those, but some of those are kind of weird and squirrely and da 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 da." And then the Lord was reminding me about my own dream that I had about making it in heaven, where God had the king had his arm around me and he's showing me different things in my life, and here's where you accepted my son. Let me tell you something. God will reach you and touch you and speak to you. The biggest question for all of us is, are we listening? Do you remember what happened when the Lord spoke over Jesus? The Father spoke from heaven over Jesus, and the Bible says that the people thought that it thundered. But it didn't thunder. God spoke. See that right there? That right there. Yeah. Because what we do is we think what thundered. But it's God speaking. The biggest question is, are we listening?
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.